I'm Vicky Merrick. The local food report's up now with Elspeth Hay. At last, it's time for seed-saving tips from a couple of local pros.
Back in 2001, Lauren Levesque and her husband Josh learned to save seeds as professionals with High Mowing Seeds in Vermont.
We got to do some evaluation of different seeds, and one of them was cantaloupes.
Watermelons.
It was watermelons. So we got to sit at a huge table with several other people who worked at High Mowing Seeds and cut up and taste different watermelons to decide which ones to carry in the catalog.
This worked kind of like a wine tasting, Lauren said. Like wine, you can't eat too much watermelon or you just won't make it. So they took big bites of melon and spat most of the fruit out into 5-gallon buckets, saving only the seeds from the best of the best. But since then, their techniques have changed because, as Josh explained, seed saving commercially has different goals than seed saving at home.
So when you're growing crops for sale, you want to have as much uniformity as possible. You want to be able to, you know, say, okay, all of these radishes are going to be ready in about 3 to 4 weeks tops.
You don't want crops getting ripe over the course of 6 weeks on a commercial farm. But for home gardeners, things are different.
It actually might be beneficial for us if our bok choys are maturing over a period of 3 to 4 weeks. And so we can plant, you know, 20 bok choy plants and not be like swamped once day 33 happens and they're all mature and getting ready to send up their flower stalks.
Seeds that are more diverse will automatically ripen over a longer period. But there are other reasons diversity is important, too. Keeping plants resilient in the face of diseases, pests, and unexpected weather events. And Josh and Lauren say this means you don't want to save seed from just one or two individuals.
We have these organic seed-saving reference books that talk about how many individuals you need to save from each type of plant. But then we have Carol Deppe, I think is her name, and she's really talking to home gardeners. And she says, you know, save from as many individuals as you can.
We don't all have 50 bean plants to save from, but we can save seed from all of the best tomatoes, for instance, that any given plant produces. And then Josh and Lauren use an old trick from professional seed saving to get the best seeds from what they've collected.
With seeds, often bigger is better, so we would put them through the screens to grade them.
When I asked why bigger seeds would be better, Josh said it's usually just because they're more mature. And once you've gotten the best of the best seeds, Lauren added, it's time to figure out where to keep them and for how long.
Ideally, we store seeds in the freezer. They have to be properly dried. If you put them in a little bit damp and then froze them, those cell walls might come apart. There might be some problems.
If you don't have a freezer, though, a cool, dark, dry place in the house will do just fine. And no matter how well you store your seeds, some will last longer than others.
Anything in the onion family, not that great. Like maybe 2-ish years before it really starts to decline. Also things in the dill and carrot family, dill, carrot, parsnips, those seeds also don't last very long. But tomato seeds, pepper seeds, things in the cabbage family are typically, you know, you can get 3 or 4, maybe sometimes a little bit more, without losing too much seed viability.
It's challenging, but Lauren says worth it.
It's so satisfying to go from like a pile of dry, dead-looking stuff to, you know, some beautiful pile of seeds with a distinctive texture, color.
For CAI's Local Food Report, I'm Elspeth Hay.
That was the reliably knowledgeable Josh and Lauren Levesque from Woods Hole about seed saving. The Local Food Report is edited by me, Vicky Merrick, and produced by Atlantic Public Media in Woods Hole. Thanks for listening.